So I'd like to ask if you have anything to ask or share. So let me convey that part across the room. He's saying a topic came up today, I think, or anyway, it came up, and he's about this big, I think, big red button that said "Action must be taken now," and it's the hurry worry voice that he knows so well and has been sitting with. He used the word sitting. Sometimes lying down, maybe. And underneath that button, another layer of control. Is that correct? Oh, yeah. The control layer is boiling. He said it's not just juicy, it's boiling. And he doesn't know what to do with it. That's not a question. Not a question. It's a sharing so far.
I'm not sure what the question is.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying he's not sure what the question is. Maybe that's the question or a question. So I can offer a few questions back. So what's underneath? Mm-hmm. Or behind? I'll give you a few moments by going into this word under or behind. Sometimes in the past, people would come on retreat with me and or Odelia having a Vipassana background. We're teaching Vipassana also in a different way here, but there is a conflict sometimes for people. So to get to know the word Vipassana again, the na in Vipassana is technique. Vi is behind or before. And pas is to see. Back to you. Okay. So let's have an accompanying question. What would help you feel what's behind control? And he said the need, he said something like, I think, but like the sense of maybe the need to feel good. What kind of, can you say more about that? In your own time, that could be tomorrow or...
It's not right now.
Okay. So I'll just give one more question to play with, which would be, where do you feel control in the body? boiling is a very good, like, that's hot. And there's movement. That sounds really experiential. So if you feel, where do you notice the boiling? It might not be aware. It might be it's everywhere in the world. It's taking up all the space. Or it might be somewhere kind of like a location. And briefly feeling that. And then sometimes literally feeling what's literally beneath that can be interesting. Or what's behind that, literally. So if anyone else is feeling something noticeable, like boiling or freezing or whatever, feeling where is it? In case that question makes sense, it might not be relevant, okay? But it might be relevant. Then feel it doesn't have to be very sharp outline, unless it has a sharp outline. But let's say there's some boiling around here. Being with that briefly, honoring that experience as something you didn't want to have and you didn't sign up for, but here it is. And then maybe another time, or maybe now briefly, like, is there something underneath, below that, just below that? Is it boiling, like, in a pot or on a fire? Does it have its own fire? What's underneath there? It might be a different, almost universe, cold, empty, we don't know. And that could also be briefly, and then you might be curious about what's behind, and you might find not much, and you might hang out for a little bit longer, and then you start to, maybe a strange image, a chicken or something comes to mind. Okay. And then, bus, finished. Come back to the belly or whatever, your kind of home place. Thank you. Thanks for bringing it to us. There's also, I can have this example of following a trail, noticing something that comes up that's very loud, and then after a while, something that's behind that, and getting to know that a little bit, not full time, 10%. Please. And maybe getting a little more comfortable and starting to be able to ask, what do I want with this? Or what am I trying to do with this? So if you are boiling and you have had that experience, do you know yourself? What would you be trying to do if you found yourself boiling? What would be your likely attitude? I can imagine fear. I can imagine assuming something's really, really wrong. So it's gone from hurry, worry mode to like hyper worry, even more emergency mode. So from like sustained survival mode to emergency survival mode. I can imagine being really worried about it. I can imagine wanting to run away from it, put the fire out. I can imagine wanting to get something to happen other than what's happening. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but I wanted to talk today about not getting anywhere and not getting anything. I kind of threw that out there yesterday and nobody attacked me. Some people looked surprised. Some people looked relieved. Let's imagine you come across a giant red button that says action must be taken now. And you notice hurry, worry, mind state. And what if there was not a compulsion to get somewhere or to get something? Or maybe there's a compulsion, but you don't have to go with it. That's a hard one. A compulsion is like you have to, but you can feel that have to and not sometimes.
And to say that I feel every time I get into the patient and the speed, then I feel like really big, right? And I saw some people here writing, so I had so many ideas, and on this I have so many ideas of folks I want to make, and I wasn't feeling very motivated lately. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to write this down. And then it's also a wrap up, right? And behind it, there's underneath, I think there's a lot of fear. First, I will forget. Second, I won't be as creative as now. Third, I'll have no motivation. And then there's another voice saying, no, you just don't want to write it down because you're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to postpone it.
Yeah.
That's the old So I've been with that since.
Yeah.
And what happens if I just stay with it? It'll go away.
Yeah. Thank you. So she's saying she'd like to continue on the same lines, similar lines. She had also a must act now button. Seeing some people writing, she thought, oh, people are writing, I could write. There's all those posts I should have made that I wasn't inspired to make, and now I feel so creative. She's saying when she starts to meditate and go deeper, her creativity is really present. And so she's been practicing with that the whole time. And so far it sounds like not necessarily going with it. And it was interesting, she described the lots of conflicting voices that came up. One is you won't be as creative later on. You'll forget these ideas. You're being lazy and postponing. Was there any other? What was the voice that said maybe you don't have to write? So. It's interesting, even in the describing and the hearing somewhere in there, the voice that actually won so far of not writing got left out. It's the least likely to be feelable and graspable. Like, what about just not doing it? What about, and she's saying now, what if I just stay with myself? And her hope is that she will remember these great ideas. I have a different wish for you, whether you remember the great ideas or not, that it's partly deepening in the source of creativity and also feeling when you slip into that and when you come out of that and when you slip into that, it's available, then it's not. What is happening when it's not? What is happening when it is? So you can more easily go there even if you haven't rested so much more than usual in 24 hours. And also remember, oh, resting really helps me have the creative ideas. What if I lie down with my notebook next to me now that I'm not on retreat, and within a few minutes, maybe at most 20, the great ideas will come, or at least the one that I need for today, or whatever your method, you know? Have you heard of the inventor, Thomas Edison, in the United States? So his method was having handy some way to record his ideas, and he had a chair that he would sleep in. And I think he had a metal ball in his hand, sitting in the chair, and underneath his hand was a big metal pot. And then he would sit in the chair to fall asleep. And when he fell asleep, his hand would drop the ball into the pot, just a little bit like we did with the microphone at the beginning. He wakes up, and he still has a little access to his creative, the dreamy mind. And that's how his inventions came. So it's possible to be that elaborate in tapping into ourselves. It's also possible to just rest more and kind of just be in it slowly as a way of living. It's possible. Yeah. So this is another great example now of if we talk about wanting to get something or get somewhere. We want to get to our creativity, some of us. Or we want to get our creativity. We want to get a creative idea. Do you understand? Do you start to get a scent of why I'm still saying a good motto for life, including meditation, is we're not getting anything. We're not getting anywhere. The creativity is already. I mean, look at us. Creativity is busy. And who is not listening? Because we've come to believe that the hurry, worry, emergency mode might get us somewhere. And we believe in somewhere. And we neglect where we are and what we're made of. And so it's not that we don't want creativity and actually need creativity. But where is it? If I'm in the mode of, I'll do this to get that, I'm not listening to what I want. I'm not listening to the creativity that I'm trying to get. That's basically the Dharma talk. If you can work it around in your own situations, and I'll ask you some questions to encourage that. What do you want? And if sometimes, especially in circles where Indian spiritual traditions have come to us, the word want can be something you have resistance to. So you can use any word you like. What do you aspire to? What calls you? But just to kind of tickle you a little bit, I'm going to keep saying, what do you want? And let's say a simple one, like, do you want peace? Does anyone not want peace? It might not be top on your list, but I imagine we would all love some peace. So let's say I want peace. I want peace. And I'd like you to play around with it a little bit. My kids have come up with this very, very simple game. Sometimes someone will say a sentence, any sentence almost. And then we just play with saying the same sentence again and again with a different emphasis. So, I want peace. I want peace. I want peace. It goes on a long time with long sentences, but it's actually still pretty interesting. But in this case, I want peace. We can imagine lots of states of mind saying that statement honestly. We could be in hurry, worry. Action must be taken now. I want peace. And just feel where the emphasis lands. I want peace. If you're worrying, hurrying, trying to get to peace, or trying to get to peace, what's happening in your body? And is it more about I want peace? Or I want peace. Or I want peace. And I think that could be another example of vipassana, like kind of traveling back behind I to want to peace. So I'd like to know, get some signaling from anybody, or I'd love to hear from you. What do you want? Do you have something in your heart and mind of what you want? You don't have to say it out loud. So it can really be what you really want. What do you want? I can imagine if I were asking you a different question that might sound almost the same but is a really different question. What do you want to get rid of? You would all be telling me much more easily. It might feel somewhat vulnerable to say what I want to get rid of. But to say what I want, I think, is more vulnerable. It can be more intimate. But I'm still asking if anybody is willing. Yes. She's saying, sorry? Yeah, great. Thank you. She's saying, lately I've been wanting connection with instincts. And that was a complete sentence. And then she's clarifying, or intuition. Great. And you said instincts that have been a bit lost, I think. Yeah, is that right? Great. Thank you. Anyone else? Barry? Freedom to play. Would you mind saying the whole sentence? I want, or I wish, I aspire, whatever is your language. Thank you. It has power. Anushka ji? Good. So I want freedom to play, in case I didn't say that in the microphone, I can't remember. And I want stability and also room, did you say? Freedom? Space to explore. Mm-hmm. What else? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's hear a few of them. He says, I want to be full of love, and I want ongoing access to sublime love. And then he said, and a bunch of other things. How about a few things more? So the few things more are steadiness, access to the jhanas, which are subtle meditative states, and really fulfilling closeness. Mm-hmm. Okay, a couple more, if anyone's up for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Here, here. He's saying, I want to be or live in an environment that is less destructive to the human psyche. Could we put it more straight? Not talking about that destructive environment, but what? Mm-hmm. I want to be in an environment that supports my psyche. with a smile. It can be cool to feel the difference between I want not that, right, which is about that, and I want, yes, this, which can start to help something sprout. It can start to help this word instinct I love. I'm so glad you brought that in. Of course, there's many kinds of instincts, but to bring in instinct as part of the spiritual path, it's to invite the possibility of not knowing up here first and being moved by life in a way that's trustworthy and as something that we could recover, that we it somehow feels like it might be familiar. It might be a connection that we've lost, but that we could re-embody the circulation. So that could be cool to check each with ourselves, what you want not, how that feels, and then what you want. Yes. I want to see a utopic world. Beautiful. So hearing, is there anyone else? Mm-hmm. What if what you want is really fixed on a material object? Okay, we'll get there. And remind me if I don't remember. So hearing each other, and hopefully yourself inwardly also, and also being like an open-ended kind of question for the week, if you want. To get interested in what is the I that wants and what is the wanting in between the I and the thing. And it's not about grammar. So experientially, if you can connect to what it is that you want or you aspire to or you resonate with or inspires you, you would love. It can be cool to notice the difference between the I that doesn't want that destructive environment. We don't want that destructive environment. But the place where I place myself when I don't want that destructive thing, the shape that I give myself, and when I do want a supportive environment for the psyche that I find myself somehow in charge of or vulnerable to or something. So getting to know the different eyes, like me's, and how it feels to be the me that doesn't want what's wrong, and how it feels experientially, what is your experience being the me that's open to what's wholesome? To what feels good in a supportive, wholesome, life-giving way. Just to start this, to get a simple orientation to how big a question it is, what is a human being? And how many people are in one of us? And so when there's a connection to, I aspire to freedom, to play, I feel there's a connection to instinct that feels really healthy that could come back. I feel that probability in here. Like as if I'm waking up from a dream or falling asleep into a dream. I can almost know, but not in a thinking way. And it's often such an open me, an open place, to be open to what's supportive, to be open to wow, if we could live in harmony. I'm not sure what you'll find when you question or quest for that self, but I think it would be worth the journey. Who wants peace? Who or what kind of knowing is in touch with a possible, I think that might be a memory of an instinct that's just so helpful, so generous, so intelligently kind that we could not plan out? So in the Indian spiritual traditions, when they say watch out about wanting, I think it's a cool place to play with the English word wanting, which can mean lack. If there's something, if something is wanting, it means it's lack. It's in lack. There's not enough of it. As an adjective. The lack me is much easier to feel, much easier to talk about, much more practiced. The open me is harder to talk about, harder to place. The me that wants peace. I think it's more of a passageway that life comes through, that me. And sometimes, so did you understand what I mean? When I want what's good for us, as an experience, I think it's hard to find me as a starting point to the sentence. Me wanting peace, me wanting freedom to play, I think, is more like a passageway that life comes through. It's a really different kind of wanting. It's not for or against. It's like, oh, I find myself opening to that thought or possibility of fulfilling closeness. And maybe I feel a little shaky. There's a little bit of an earthquake in this, what's supportive to the psyche. So find what you find in this me that wants what's good for us, us, including yourself. And sometimes by contrast, it's easier to, like, so contrasting with the me that wants not. I want not disharmony. I don't like disharmony. I think that's a something much more like you could feel like that's right here, and it's pretty solid. Also, the different kinds of remembering. So, oh, I remember that, where I hate all this disharmony. Or I almost remember and I almost know there might be something about harmony. There might be some kind of instinct. There might be something about play. There might be something about steadiness that might give a feeling of settling and at the same time shaking. Does that make sense? It might be good to think about something really specific now, like Michal was saying. What about if it's something really specific? But start with something specific that's in your hands. Not whether that person's in love with you or not, or whether they give you the job or not, or whatever. You love going on a walk, you love singing, you love doing headstands, whatever. But you don't. You love having unscheduled time, but you don't. Does something come to mind? I love to meditate, but I don't. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. In short, all the things that we love and don't do might be forms of meditation. So it can be a really helpful way to get a sense of your ways of connecting to aliveness. What you love but don't do, don't allow. So it might be helpful to let something come to mind, something specific. You love and you resist. Or do you? Like, there's love and there's resistance. Are you doing that? Did you say what? Yes. I said, are you doing that? When we love meditating, but we don't meditate, we love and we resist going on a walk in the evening or lying in the hammock. We might know all the reasons why we don't, but there's just the fact that we love and we resist different things for each person. And then I'm questioning, is it me that loves and me that resists, or is it more accurate to say there is love and there is resistance? So in I want peace, the wanting part also is worthy of checking it out. Not as much when you're wanting that with hurry, worry, where you're relating to wanting as a lack kind of thing. I so want it and I so don't have it, like not that moment. But where there's maybe some more innocence, often there would be a sense of like, I have no idea how, but I want peace. Or I'm not sure how this came about, but I love peace. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yes. She's saying why we resist, why the resistance, why who, why the sabotage, she said. Sabotage in Hebrew? Is that one of those sabotage things? Lechabel? Lechabel. Sabotage. So that could be, as you're asking it, a really powerful question to leave unanswered, but not abandoned. But I'm not going to actually do that, but I'm saying it would be good, because you're really feeling that. So not to take any quick answer as the end of that, is what I mean. And not abandoning, tending that question. And slowly refining the question so it's less about why this sabotage that I hate, and if only I could get rid of, then I'd be fine. Or why this peace that I want to get, but I don't have. So just slow, that's going to come. That's our training. Our training culturally is to be doubtful, suspicious, you know. Scientific doubt has become psychological doubt, and we believe in doubt. We don't believe in other things. So it takes a while. And also, just it's so, so close in an instant, the innocence. So there can be like a childlike quality that can just be like sometimes when kids suddenly, the parents realize the kids have actually been watching the whole time. And they just point out the dynamics between the parents. It's like, ugh. In ourselves, the childlike part can, well, because you're afraid. mom, dad, whatever. You're afraid of being open. So then we can check. That might not be your answer, but it might be. Then we could be, rather than, okay, that's the problem, let's smush that bug. It can be like, why are we afraid to be open? And what might help us be open? And it could be sometimes what helps us easily be open. To what we love or would love, to what calls. And what helps us be open even when we're scared? So that's question number one. I mean, of this part, it's question like 99 of the talk, but what helps us easily be open? And you could just end there. What helps us easily be open? Someone, it might be being in the sea or laughter, just as two examples. In case you were thinking, everybody but me has a way to be open. No, that's not true. Or it could be, this first question could be, what helps me easily be open in that way where I remember what I love or would love? The second question would be, what helps me stay loyal to openness even though I'm scared? I'm scared to lose myself, to be lost, to be annihilated, to be out of control, to be someone I didn't want to be, etc. Or what? It's good to be, I don't often use the word careful because it tends to make people's shoulders get tight. Careful. So don't be careful like that. Careful like, okay, careful. Caring, careful. Carefree, careful. Around relating to resistance. It's like entering a landscape that we almost remember and almost know and also hardly know and don't know much about. The way that we know that almost remembered inner landscape is not that we know about it, that we know by being it somehow, somewhere. And remembering, we're not familiar enough with the forces at play in our inner landscape to start using a bulldozer. Let's just move that resistance over there. And just thinking of all the times humankind has done that kind of thing in different landscapes, and it just doesn't go well. Finding other ways of being with this really strong force of resistance, fear, loyalty to control. Not assuming that we should just cut it down, but communication with it can be helpful, and also communication with what's not it. So even when there's resistance, we can find ways around sometimes. Okay, I would love to go on a walk in the evening. I would love to just hang out and dangle my bare feet in the air or whatever. And the resistance comes. It's like our inner landscape has been shaped by our experience, and the forces obey that shape. We're getting to know the shape, getting to know how the forces move in our inner shapes. It moves for a reason, reasons. And the possibility of being friendly with a force that has a greater strength than we do, but to be friendly with it, to be friendly with resistance, doesn't mean we want resistance, doesn't mean We want to empower resistance. But what if? We don't assume that it's wrong. And we don't assume that it's blocking us from where we want to get to or what we want to get. Sometimes it could be a reminder that even though we love to and we really get into a flow easily when we play the flute or whatever the things are, and resistance comes when we decide to go play the flute or we decide to go meditate, and the resistance comes, and we find ourselves going back to the list of things we don't really need to do, but the hurry-worry self needs to do. And we see ourselves doing that. And we feel ourselves doing that. It could be helpful in that moment to remember your freedom is not over there, on the meditation cushion or with the flute in your hands. The source of it is in here. And what's possible now? What's possible now? You don't have to call it meditation so that you don't bring the resistance up. Call it something else. Is that enough to go on around the eye and the resistance in the eye? The defenses. And of course we have defenses because of course we've been hurt. But that's not the end of the story. What got shaped can change shape. So I want peace. We can land with the I want peace part, the peace, or whatever your thing. So let's say it's something specific. And the way Michalji was gesturing, it's something not in your hands, but you really want it. So a couple of games to play. And one is with the resistance. Sometimes, even often, there is something specific that we want, and it's mostly myself blocking myself. So you can play with that. Mostly myself blocking myself. Mostly. It's me blocking me. It's me blocking me. Anything. Anything you want. It's very likely, if you're feeling that feeling of I want that and I don't have it, there's some inner resistance that's the main thing that's in the way. Also, but staying tuned to the I that's a passageway for life to come through that doesn't really actually decide what it would love. We don't choose through our preference what our aspiration is. It's a really different thing to have been programmed in a certain way that we eat this for breakfast. I remember on retreats in India, people from this country would come and be like, where's the salad? And we're like, we don't do salad in India because salad in India comes with Giardia. And that would be frustrating for someone that breakfast equals salad. That's a programmed wish or liking or preference or habit or whatever. A feeling of I would love and whatever gives the big relief, I would love peace or freedom to play or stability with space to explore. It's not... If it's programmed, it's not programmed in the same way. So the second thing I want to say when there's a specific want is to feel what is it about that you want. I remember one time talking to some friends when around one of my teachers, Punjaji, in Lucknow, India. And I just, one time I said, oh, I want to be just like him. And one of my friends said, no, you don't. Which is true. I wouldn't want to have high blood pressure, you know, before my time, or tattoos that I didn't choose, etc. And so then I thought, well, okay, what do I want that I see in him and experience in him? And I'm not sure, there were three things. I don't remember all of them, I don't think. But one of them was his deep eyes. Something about his heart, which is maybe close to what we're talking about this eye that lets life come through and go somewhere. Take us somewhere beyond what we imagined was possible. So with anything, it can be worthwhile. When my first child was really little, and we had just moved into the middle of nowhere, off the grid, the roof was leaking, the toilet was backed up, etc. And it was like, just want to have my coffee. And mostly I couldn't, at least not hot. Like, I would eventually, okay, now I can have my coffee. And I would get it all ready. And then something else would happen, and there's the coffee over there, and I can't get over there. And I'm not saying at all not to have the coffee when it's happening. And I'm not saying, I am saying, I'll put it that way, if you see a mother of a young child whose coffee is across the room or who hasn't gotten to the stove yet, maybe offer. And also, there's so many situations that are as challenging, surprising as it may seem, as having young children. We can look for coffees that have gotten left across the room. And it was so also helpful to have this relating to my coffee practice. Knowing that it could be good to have that that symbolic, that ritual moment of me and me. Coming into feeling my wholeness and care. But it was also really important, obviously, to have the chance to not get what I wanted when I wanted it. And to feel how countercultural that is. And also then to get to know, like, what is it about the coffee? Because it's obviously not the coffee. And really often it would come down to love. And then we can tune to loving love. Or it may come down to belonging, which is maybe the same, but just a different word. And openness to belonging. What if already you belong? What if that strong disturbance that feels like you don't belong is just some, you know, a lightning struck your inner landscape somewhere? And yeah, there's disturbance, but that happens in life that you belong to. It doesn't kick you out. The disturbance that we might worry kicks us out is part of what we share with each other. The uncertainty of whether we belong is one of the most common things. And the possibility of getting more slippery and slipping around that into something deeper. Where did that disturbance get energy from? Where did my hurry-worry get energy from? And whether it's love or belonging or freedom or instinct, which starts to bring in a sense of movement, not just static in place, there's love. But, oh yeah, love moves. Belonging responds. The possibility of a spiritual instinct that we can't get, but we can remember. We can uncover. And I think that what we deeply want is what we can remember and uncover. And to reorient from the mode and the training to get something and to get somewhere, because it won't get you what you want. The trustworthy wants, don't hook them up with that machine of getting somewhere and getting something. Unhook them from that machine and see where they go. What was the word? Unhook, yeah. Or unplug. Are there any questions, anything to share? What's the difference between uncover and discover? I would put them in the same pile. And also the word develop, even though we use it differently now, the root meaning of develop, it's like take the envelope off, take the veil away, or let the veil fall away. And that can be that combination of the instinct and intuition. So it's not just being free, but free to play. Or not just love and belonging, but then that actually gives us a capacity to be for movement, to be moved, to act, not from the big red button. And I think one of our biggest fears in letting ourselves fall apart as we know ourselves is that if I'm not pushy, I'm sure I won't get enough done. I won't get enough defending done, and I won't get enough stuff done. But just check how it actually works. When you're more creative, and when that creativity is more effective and more efficient, and more like, not multitasking, but multi-beneficent, like so helpful in so many ways that we didn't even realize it would be. Because it's coming through an intelligence that's not limited to our little individual head. But that can come through that I that wants peace. That's not quite a place and not quite not a place. A place that's a space. And a space that through practicing friendliness and also remembering, coming back together, feeling the wholeness of you within the wholeness of the world. And how that resonates together. It's like friendly with being moved in ways we don't yet understand, that spiritual instinct. And I'm not saying every impulse is wise. But we do need to have a freedom to play with that. And often it'll be really mixed for a while. What we thought was an intuition had a little agenda in it. What was love had some fear in it. What was fear had some love in it. And that's okay. there's no other way. The real sabotage would be to say, I can't get it perfectly right away, so I'm not going to do it. Yes. Yes.
Because I feel like this whole investigative work that we do,
yeah,
sometimes just keeps us away from the,
yes,
feeling that you just want something and maybe you can't have it, or maybe it's not you being in the way, and it's not, it's, mm-hmm, just, and it's not that you want the warmth of the coffee, mm-hmm, or the loving eyes of teacher, but really,
yeah,
want that, and that hurts if that's something that you can't get.
Yeah.
Or something, yeah.
So the question is it possible that we sometimes just want the coffee? And I said yes, but I wasn't understanding the whole question yet. I was saying yes in the sense of we start to free that intuition and instinct, so it doesn't have to filter through, like, should I have the coffee or not? Is it wholesome or not wholesome? Is it because I want the love? Can I just give myself the love?
It's also that.
Yeah.
It's also that.
So freeing that, but it's only through experimentation that we can feel what's trustworthy and what was tricky. So I was saying yes. Sometimes we just want the coffee, and it's hardly even we want the coffee. It's just time for coffee. And that's okay. It's not spiritual just because it's coffee. And it could be chamomile, whatever. Yeah. And so, but there's also the question of sometimes do we just want something, but it's not possible, and it hurts. Yes. Also. Because we're not in control of everything. And people have the chance to play with being open or not. And if what we want was to meet, we don't want to force them to meet us. That's not what we wanted. And they're feeling more filled with fear in that moment, for example. And it does hurt. But that hurt is a kind of a tenderness. It doesn't say, oh, it's somebody's fault, or meeting is impossible. It doesn't go anywhere except that hurts. Because life could come through, and it could be fulfilling. So still, I would put less emphasis with the hurt as a kind of dead end, and more emphasis of the hurt as a tender-hearted openness that loves connection, for example. But not putting down the hurt as something lesser. It's part of the whole organic experience. Yeah? Thank you. Good question. Thank you for listening and participating and making this day possible. I feel so much, I'm not even sure what word, but maybe honoring is the word. I just feel for all the ways that you have practiced and walked and swum and crawled run to be here. The stamina, that means like keeping on going, and the gifts for the also the inner transformation and curiosity. It's really awesome in the big sense of the word. Thank you. The people behind the post, or they my brain reading visor doesn't work behind the post. So bon appetit.